Welcome to Ill-Gotten Games, a show about pushing back on the toxic influence of capitalism in video games. I'm Six Dutmar from Scanline Media.
And I'm Jennifer Uncle, also from Scanline Media.
And we're upset about video games.
Damn straight. Yeah, we're pretty annoyed at some recent developments, so we decided it's a perfect excuse to just get on a microphone and hash things out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like most of our shows are fairly positive. It's mostly us just being enthusiastic and happy about things. Because generally, I think we're pretty positive people, but there are some things we cannot tolerate. And on this episode, we're going to be talking about the recent indecision and waffling of Valve, particularly in regards to the Steam marketplace. Jen, do you want to run us down sort of a timeline of events?
Sure thing. So, around May of this year, Loopysoft and HoneyDev, a few developers who make visual novels that and other games that are either borderline lewd or lewd, started receiving takedown notices for their games. Like, it wasn't something that was saying, okay, we're taking them down right now. It's like, be aware that within this period of time, we're going to be taking these down unless you change things within it. And, of course, people saw this and were not very happy at all. So everyone started speaking up about it, sharing their takedown notices online, and it made the normal news cycles. And by the next day, Valve was already going, okay, we're not going to make you take them down. But we're going to be rethinking content for a bit, so stay tuned for that.
Mm-hmm.
And the frustrating thing about this period is basically the games that were impacted were mostly independent titles by very small developers who cannot really... They don't have the same resources as AAA developers, so there's plenty of games like Grand Theft Auto and stuff that go to borderline lewd or lewd with AAA budgets and stuff, but they seem to be targeting quote-unquote anime games for the most part, and that mostly meant independent, small developers who didn't have a ton of budget and had a specific anime style that they drew in.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, that kind of... HoneyDev is not exactly a developer I'm fond of. No. They've aligned themselves with Gamergate bullshit in the past, and but they're the ones that happened to me that was vocal about this, so they categorized the incident as basically attack on I think they called it a titty holocaust. I think those are the words that they used. Something
along those lines. That sounds like them.
Yeah. But yeah, they essentially, over the course of 24 hours, got a bunch of people to stop caring about it because they're like, oh, it's these assholes, or, oh, it's just about games that are focused on male-female, and basically made it look the most regressive it possibly could, even though there's a lot of queer developers who make adult content, or content that's close to adult. And it's also worth mentioning that several of these games were games that Steam personally went through in the past and went back and forth with the creators before approving it, but all of a sudden they just received a blanket notice saying, no, it's no longer welcome on here. And it was basically the same notice everyone else was receiving without any consideration for why.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was pretty out of nowhere. I think the thing that scared people the most wasn't necessarily like that it's like, oh, okay, Steam is not going to be a friendly place for this. It's that contradiction of like, okay, you talked to these people and you said their stuff was okay, and then now you're saying it's not. And that inconsistency, that instability is really scary.
Yeah, the thing with Valve as a company and Steam platform in general is they don't have very clear guidelines about what is or isn't allowed. Like, they try and look pretty freewheeling with what they are okay and aren't okay with. But there's very little... They're not easy to talk to. Like, they don't really have any easy line for contacting them. So a lot of times developers are working in the dark, and when changes get rolled out, they find out because the changes were just rolled out and no one talked to them about it. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And by June 6th, they decided to clear things up, but not really, because they're, like I said about the whole freewheeling thing, they're like, you know what, we're going to allow everything except for things we decide are legal or straight-up trolling. Now, straight-up trolling is a weird one, because I've played a few games that it was only clear to me after 30 minutes to an hour that they were made by Gamergate people, and they had some gross shit in them, to be honest, like Arianis. That game just looks like a queer cyberpunk thing, and then you find out that you're basically fighting against a feminist cabal, and it gets real ugly. But they kind of hide all that stuff from the marketing, so you don't know that going in. Would that count as trolling? Or are we just talking about the ones that are blank pages with a bunch of crude jokes as bullet points? They don't really specify.
And I think knowing Valve, I just kind of assumed it's like, okay, like, not, like, it's Valve. They don't care, I think, if the consumer is being trolled. They care if they are being trolled. If you put out a game that says, like, if you put out a game called Valve is fucking bullshit, and you play the game and it's about how Valve sucks, they'd be like, oh, that's trolling. But if you want to put out a game about how the feminazis are ruining society, they're gonna give that a pass.
Yeah. Anything that makes them look particularly bad, like bad beyond anything that attracts general attention is something that they crack down on too. Like, one of the things that also spurred this policy on was people were uploading things like School Shooter Simulator.
Mm-hmm.
Which, of course, not really something that should be sold, but their approach isn't exactly great either.
Yeah.
Then if we go to June 28th... June 28th. Steam Spy took some screenshots from a presentation Valve gave at White Knight to explain their... basically what they think works on Steam and what doesn't. And the words that they use for the first two bullets... well, the first three bullets. We don't sell ad space or pick winners and losers, which, right off the bat, whether they're doing it or their algorithm is doing it, there are games that go on the front page and there are games that are not, so...
yeah.
Yeah. Second bullet. We are not the taste police, and we'll be coming back to that later, other than just saying, for now, it's your job to be the taste police. It's your job to curate. And the third one is just great games find their audience. So what they're pitching here is, you know, just make a great game, put it on a store, and if you build it, they will come.
Mm-hmm. And there's definitely no instances across any other media of works being, like, not recognized in their own time and later realized as brilliance after the artist has died or gone bankrupt. That's never happened. So, obviously, this great games will find their audience attitude is infallible.
Yeah, it's quality by way of capitalism, so not exactly the best metric for deciding what's good art.
Mm-hmm.
So, after all this happened, well, I guess we should also mention one other thing. Around the time that this new content policy got announced, all of the queer tags on Steam got blanked out. Like, LGBT, transgender, queer, lesbian, gay, bisexual, all that. Now, if you search for those words in regular Steam search, I'm clarifying this because a few people, when I mention this, always go, oh, you're lying, I just type in gay in search and it comes up with something. The difference between regular Steam search is when you're searching using just the regular search bar, it will come up with terms, it'll come up with whatever's in the game title or description. So if a game mentions that it explicitly is gay in the description, it may come up. If it mentions it in the title, it might come up. But there used to be a tag system. Well, there still is a tag system where you find games that have certain themes that you appreciate or games that have certain types of content and you tag them with that so people can find them more easily. So in the past, you could type in something like gay and find a bunch of gay visual novels. Except now, if you use that specific tag search, it shows nothing. At the bottom, it'll say 1 out of 15, but just it's completely blank. And the reason why I know those tags still exist and are just blanked out is if you type trans, it'll correct it to transgender. If you type LGBT, it'll capitalize it. So it's already pushing you to the more commonly used version of that tag, but that tag is no longer in use. Like, they purposefully made it so that you can't use it.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, like, there are tags for, like, there are tags for just about anything you can think of. It's not like they're cutting out these tags because it's like, oh, that's not what the system's for. I mean, like, any number of tags. I don't know if there still is. I haven't checked recently for some reason, but there used to be a 60 FPS tag. It's like, people can tag anything they want. You can type in your own tag. It's just if you type these ones, Valve will specifically remove them. Whether directly or by algorithm, probably by algorithm, we don't know, but it also super doesn't matter.
Yeah, and I heard some people argue, well, maybe they're blanking them out so hate groups and stuff like that can't use them to specifically target certain developers and their Steam forum pages. To which I reply, if Valve and Steam were so concerned with developers being targeted, they wouldn't give every single game its own forum that developers cannot shut down in any way, that they have to moderate for the rest of time.
Yeah, it's a real... I mean, like, the sad thing is, it's not impossible that that's true, that they did that in some way. That was part of the concern, is like, oh, if we get rid of these tags, people won't troll. Because the one thing I will say for Valve, for good or for ill, almost always for ill, is that I don't think they've ever had follow through on anything they've done since Steam started. So, like, the idea that, well, if they were gonna move in this direction, they would have gone all the way. They've never gone all the way on anything they've ever done.
Yeah.
They never complete a job.
They're like Google, except Google will typically go all the way for a specific product until they just give up because no one's using it. What Steam does instead is they introduce several different half measures that will come down years later for just because they didn't really seem to know what they wanted to do with it. It was like a small beta mode that never left beta, but it was treated like a normal part of the product.
It's like every Steam game, every Steam product is like an early access Steam game that never gets updated. They put out the first build and they leave it alone.
Yeah. And some would say that's their whole flat, what's the word? Flat organization of their company probably has something to do with some of this, because from my understanding, I could have outdated information here, but the last time their structure came up very publicly, it came out that people just choose which project they're more interested in working on. So, and if you compare that to the things that get attention on Steam and the things that don't, that makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, lots of Valve seems to focus on the fun parts and not exactly the parts that need fixing. Or the hard parts.
So we're being pretty hard on Valve right now, but, like, where we just left off is, you know, June 28th, they said they're not the taste police. That's good, right? It seems like maybe they're making some claims they can't quite back up, but, like, we're in a good place.
Yeah, I wish that were true, but as of this recording, yesterday, they decided to stop. They decided to put a hold on any 17 plus or 18 plus adult games from entering Steam.
Hmm.
So this is them basically going back on their whole "we're not the taste police, we don't pick winners or losers," because clearly they have interest in holding up a very specific genre and a very specific type of game from entering their service. And it's not a game that's hateful or trolling either. Like, a lot of these sex games are very, very innocuous compared to something like Hatred or any of those games where all you do is shoot people or gouge their eyes out.
And even other sex games, right? Like, I mean, I don't mean that, you know, let's not call anybody out here, no kink shaming, but like, The Witcher 3 gets pretty, like, it has some real sex scenes on there. They go hard in the paint, you might say, and no one's threatening to take them down.
Yeah, that's the whole Witcher series, too. Like, Witcher 1 had those sex cards. Witcher 2, the first 5 minutes is you waking up next to a naked woman. And, yeah, Witcher 3 has plenty of full-on sex scenes. But because they're CG Projekt Red, because their games sell a ton, and they have all this media attention, they're basically bulletproof. Meanwhile, developers like Loopysoft have to worry, is Valve going to decide that we're their next punching bag for the day? And yeah, it's straight up bullshit. Like, we should be allowed to create and sell lewd games on the store.
So let's talk about, if you're down, let's talk about sort of our different philosophies about Steam, right? Because I'm like, thus far, I think we're in lockstep. We agree, like, we both agree on this whole saga being a bunch of bullshit and the measures that Valve have taken being kind of nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I say kind of nonsense. Nonsense.
Yeah, nonsense.
There's no real kind of. But there is an area in which I do disagree with you, which is we've had discussions in the past, we've had disagreements in the past, as to how much Steam needs to be an open platform for anyone.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those situations where sometimes I can fluctuate from day to day on how much control should or shouldn't be there. Honestly, I think that the Itch.io model is best. Like, they allow all sorts of things on their store. They allow visual novels. They allow PDFs that are just light novels. They allow albums sometimes. And, but they're very, very committed to keeping certain content off. Like, they, unlike what lots of Valve, unlike Valve, who has talked about how they should protect controversial content, Itch.io's like, you know what? If you're a fascist, racist, white supremacist, we don't want you on our store. Fuck you. We're going to delete your game. And clearly, things like Hatred are still on Steam stores, so it doesn't seem like Valve feels the same way.
Mm-hmm. I think as far as, like, removing, like hate speech, we're on the same page there, right? Like, obviously, I don't think that's going to come as any surprise. I don't want white supremacist, misogynist bullshit. I just don't think, that's not like a, well, you know, it's your store issue. It's like, no, you're fucking up, if you don't take care of that. And I'm not going to argue that point. However, like, I guess I have two arguments against, Steam becoming like Itch.io. And the first is the straightforward one, which is Itch.io already exists. Steam should be something different than Itch.io.
That's a fair point, yeah.
And the other one is, I don't know about you. Maybe this is something that's different to, I won't say unique to me. I think that's an absurd claim, but like, maybe this is not as common an experience, but I can't remember the last time I went on Itch.io just to browse and find a game, because I can't. I only go to Itch.io when I already know what I'm looking for, because I can't find a damn thing on that website, because it's a mess.
Okay. Yeah, that's very different from my experience. Like, for me, the front page is very curated. They are highlighting very specific things. Like, they have featured sections, just like Steam does, but they're a lot more open with what gets to featured.
Yeah, I guess just, like, when I, like, the featured stuff is rarely, like, honestly, usually when I go there, I'm looking for visual novels. And so, like, on the front page, there are only, like, a couple of visual novels, and usually they're ones that I already know about. And then if I click, like, the visual novels tag, I'm just flooded with, like, MS Paint hentai. And it's just like, okay, I don't care about any of this. I feel like the discoverability is pretty bad on itch.io.
True, but the discoverability is bad everywhere now. Because the thing is, there was a specific time within Steam's history, within many of these digital platforms' history, where certain titles always made it to the front page, and certain titles were... It seemed like there was a lot more variety that was appearing, but the thing is, as game tools have become better, and more developers have flocked to all these platforms, you're never putting that back in the box, no matter how much you try. Like, 2018 Steam will never be 2010 Steam.
That's true, but there's no reason they couldn't be more pick. I mean, like, this current approach of just, like, we'll just, like, so their current approach, they've said, is just, we'll only stop you if you're breaking the law or trolling. And clearly that's not actually true, but that's what they're claiming. And then itch.io is like, listen, we'll only break it if you're, like, hate speech, right?
I'm pretty sure there's other stuff in their content that they will block. Like, I'm pretty sure they would block pedophilia and stuff like that.
Oh, sure. Like, actual illegal stuff. I think we can assume everyone will block illegal stuff. I think they're actually closer to living what Valve says they're trying to do than Valve is.
Yeah, I'd say so.
But there's also other options that no one is exploring, like, what if you were actually, like, you actually had staff whose, like, no algorithms, you had staff whose job it was to look over things and, like, select what gets on the store and curate. And therefore, fewer things are going to get on, but, like, your consumers, your players, can have more confidence that what is on there has been checked by someone and is good. And I don't think that, like, I don't want every marketplace to be that way, but for a marketplace to be that way makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, and that's something that you see on Apple Music and the like, too. Like, Apple obviously has more money than Valve, but Valve has a fuck ton of money now. And what Apple does for things like their game section or their music section, they hire people whose job it is to critically review this sort of stuff, and they have featured pages. Like, in terms of Apple Music, you have specific DJs that are sharing a specific selection. On the App Store, you have editor's choices, you have weekly categories where they show off certain types of games and what they're interested in there. I think that would be a good middle ground for Steam to take. Like, have some sort of featured thing on the page where it's more, where they have people that are specifically hired to talk about games and do their work and find good independent games to talk about and feature. And everything else can just go on the store like normal. Oh, as long as it's not illegal or hate speech and things like that.
Sure. Yeah, I think that seems like what I personally want, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it's just, it's frustrating, because, like, obviously, there are these other possibilities, and we're not even seeing what they would be like, because they're doing such a bad job. Because, like, ultimately, if Steam wants to say, like, this is, again, I'm speaking for myself, I think you'll agree with this, but if Steam wants to say this is not the place for adult games, right? If Steam wants to say, here is our marketplace, these are the games that we serve, I think they're within, like, I think that's okay for them to say that. I don't necessarily like that decision, but if they're like, okay, we are going to be a, like, a family-friendly marketplace or whatever, right? Which is, yeah, I know, a hilarious claim. But, like, if you're gonna do that, then you have to do it. The biggest problem is the inconsistency, is the fact that they keep changing their minds and with almost or literally no warning.
Yeah, and even if your game gets greenlit one day, the next day they can come back and go, oh, wait a minute, this other employee. So the thing that came out, I think, in terms of all the takedown notices, is that it was mostly the work of a different employee who didn't handle those games in the past. So essentially, when you're making these sorts of games and you want to release them on Steam, you have to... The current state of things is, I can put these on this platform, and if they're accepted, that's all well and good. But now I have to worry that at some point, someone's going to step in and say, wait, why did this get in here? Even though we vetted it, like, very thoroughly, I don't think it belongs here anymore. Let's remove it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just not fair to developers. Like, developers work so hard on making this shit, and the idea that what they make may not work, not because it's bad, but because Steam is very fair weather on whether they'll allow certain things on or not, even if that content is already on there in the first place. That's not a good way to feed yourself. That's not a good way to guarantee that you're getting... It's not a good way to guarantee that you're getting paid for your work and that you can keep doing this as your job. And if that's the case, then that affects the games that get made, because if you can't sell this specific type of game on Steam, why are you making it? You'll make something else, and that has a chilling effect on the type of art that we consume, or the type of art that gets attention.
And I feel like we're... So, like, I think we can both agree that games have historically been pretty immature.
Totally.
And I'd, like... I'm not necessarily saying that all of these sex games are, like, super mature, right? Like, God knows, Hoonipop is not a fucking mature game.
Yeah, fuck Hoonipop.
But, like, I think part of growing up as a medium is allowing other forms of expression and also allowing people to kind of do it badly, frankly. I mean, like, and, you know, it's not an interesting discussion to me whether or not I think Hoonipop is a bad game, even if it was better executed, I don't very much respect their goals, right?
Totally.
But that doesn't matter, because games like that should be able to exist, generally speaking. Hoonipop specifically has some issues. But, like, you should be able to make your immature sex game, because the fact that an immature sex game can exist on a big platform like Steam is inherently, like, motivating and encouraging for other developers to be like, see, look at the gradual expansion of the possibility space as to what can be sold, what can become accepted. And, you know, like, personally, I would rather we get the more, like, mature stuff, but, like, we can't just grow in one direction. That's not how growth works. We have to grow in every direction, and that means we have to stop being such fucking children about this shit.
Totally. And there's a good chance that even if your game isn't that great, someone might play it, see a certain element that they love that they're not seeing anywhere else, and they'll add it to their project. And if their project becomes more popular, then that idea gets traction and passes along. Like, this, I always go back to the specific story. There was a Tale of Tale Games, I'm blanking on the name. I think it was The Graveyard. But there's a Tale of Tale game where you essentially... I keep butchering the name. It's Tale of Tales. Anyway, you play this old lady in a graveyard, and all you do in that game is walk to the grave, sit on a bench nearby, and depending on randomization, you'll either just get up like everything's normal, or your character will straight up die on that bench from old age. And it wasn't a huge hit. It was just a small indie project. It didn't sell well. But someone at Naughty Dog played that game. And that game, in particular, inspired a moment in Uncharted 2 where you're walking around a village. No combat, no anything, just walking around, taking in the sights, and just having some quiet time. And I feel like that it's not like it's the only game that managed to do quiet time. Like, Half-Life begins with just a peaceful tram ride, but it did make an impact on one of the most critically acclaimed games of that generation.
And even if it didn't, it would still be worthwhile.
Totally. Like, even if I went back to this game like a year or two ago, and it's still, something about it still resonated with me. Even if all that Uncharted stuff never happened, it still has value. And even if it didn't, someone else, it existing has value. I don't think we say this enough, because we, as critics, we often talk about how, we often talk about the failings of certain games, but even games that are terrible, they don't play well, they're about stupid subjects. As long as they're not hateful subjects, I feel like they all have value because there's something that someone spent time creating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I definitely think I agree. It's like, we can push the medium forward through creation of greatness, but we also often learn more from failures or just from, like, mediocre games with, like, different ideas, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely.
So. All right, well, I think that's it for this first episode of Ill-Gotten Games. We don't know if there will be more episodes. Let's see how shitty the industry is.
Yeah, sorry for being kind of rambly there. I have a lot of emotion. I have a lot of strong emotions about this particular topic, so. Mm-hmm. And it just happening yesterday kind of made it all spill out at once.
No, I mean, we've been talking about doing something like this for a while, and I'm glad we're finally buckling down and doing it, because we're not the most relevant voice in games criticism, right? But with what voice we have, I think it's important that we try and talk about the ways in which we can do better. So.
Absolutely.
Anyway, if you like Jen and I's work, we're part of Scanline Media. I think this is going to go up on the Scanline Presents feed, and there's some other, like, random shows there. But most of our stuff you're going to find on scanlinemedia.com or on our Patreon, which is patreon.com/scanlinemedia. There's going to be a little bumper at the end of this that'll let you know about all the shows we currently have running on Scanline Media. We have a lot of them for a variety of tastes, and we hope you will give them a shot. Peace out.
See ya.
You're listening to a Scanline Media Network podcast. Check out our other podcasts, like Bottle Crow Reborn. So here's the thing, Nick.
Nobody cares.
No.
It's not about that.
You actually convinced me.
Shit.
The Garnet Wager. And immediately we get Yunji being like, so hang on. Why does everyone call Jin-Ho Kong? And Jin-Ho, like, really circuitously explains because they're making fun of me.
Like, it means bean, but it's all, like, small person, and, like, I'm...
Neutral game.
So, if you're averse to frame data, you can still play the game, and it'll just sometimes take longer to figure some stuff out.
Oops, all anime gaiden. I've known some podcasters with taste, and they're all cowards. Let's talk about today's menu.
Oh my God.
For the Emiya family. Operation Cereal.
Episode 4 yep. was a bit more understandable, but also, I continue to sour on these kids. I think they're dicks.
Okay, that's fair.
And our patron-only podcast, Oops All Anime.
And he has the blessed privilege of getting an invite. He shreds it in front of her, looks her in the eye, like, touches
wipes
her face.
Wipes a tear off of her eye.
Wipes a tear off of her eye and goes, I'll kill you.
Visit Scanline Media at scanlinemedia.com and our Patreon at patreon.com/scanlinemedia.